Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice. Today we have the results of the point-in-time homeless count, which have a lot of positive findings for homelessness in our region, but the city of El Cajon is disputing its numbers, and we'll tell you why on our show today. Supervisors have approved funding for sleeping cabins for the homeless in Lemon Grove, while canceling plans for an RV parking area in Lakeside. We also have new details on that devastating plane crash in Murphy Canyon. And the pilot, who besides being a music agent, is widely reported, also owned a flight school at Gillespie Field in El Cajon. On Crime Beat, hear about a fourth suspect arrested for a murder last year in Lemon Grove. The controversial Cottonwood sand mine proposed for Sweetwater River in Rancho San Diego is finally coming before the Planning Commission, and opponents are urging the community to show up and speak out. From California News Service, hear about a bill to make it easier for birth centers to open, as many maternity wards and hospitals in rural areas are closing. The City of La Mesa seeks volunteers for its boards and commissions. We'll tell you how to volunteer on today's show. The Anza Borrego Desert State Park has been named the best park in California for viewing wildflowers. Hear what other local parks made the list on today's show. Over Memorial Day weekend, President Donald Trump spoke at the West Point Military Academy, where he promised a hefty increase in military spending while Republicans in Congress are slashing funds for Medicaid, food benefits for poor people, and more. KNSJ has a special fundraising event coming up with Pulitzer Prize-winning author Chris Hedges on May 30th. From Public News Service, we'll have the latest updates on the Gaza-Israel conflict and concerns over the Department of Justice ending police investigations. Then on Destination East County, hear about all the most fun festivals and events coming up across June, which is jam-packed with festivals, outdoor concerts, and more. The community of Crest has been named the highest-risk community in America for wildfires. Hear what's being done to make Crest safer on our show today. On Green Scene, hear about a grant to fund a microgrid for Borrego Springs. And finally, as we honor our veterans this Memorial Day week, we'll be re-airing one of our Best of East County segments about World War II veterans reminiscing about their experience while on board a Warbird flight over Gillespie Field right here in El Cajon. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters.
The 2025 point-in-time count of homeless people conducted in January found large drops in homelessness countywide in nearly every community, with a 72% drop in families living on the streets, indicators that efforts to help the homeless are likely having positive results. In East County, only El Cajon showed an increase, but the city argues that the count is inaccurate, including several census tracts that are not in the city limits or only partially in the city, as well as inflating the count in other areas within its city limits. Here's what the countywide count found. Overall, homelessness decreased 7% countywide from January 2024 to January 2025, according to the count. A total of 9,905 homeless people were counted this year, compared to 10,605 a year ago, with over 1,700 volunteers participating in the count. The total includes 5,714 unsheltered people and 4,191 individuals in shelters or traditional housing. Those living in vehicles are counted among the unsheltered. The county found substantial progress in helping homeless families. Countywide, the count found only 12 families on the streets, down from 43 last year. The number of families living in shelters dropped 13% from 564 to 405. The number of homeless children and young adults also improved. Unsheltered youths ages 18 to 24 fell 22%, with 380 still unsheltered. Unsheltered children under 18 dropped 14%, with 73 still on the streets. The number of transitional youths in shelters fell 18%, while the number of children under 18 in shelters dropped 7%. Veterans' homelessness also dropped sharply by 25%, and those chronically homeless dropped 5%. Homeless persons living in Caltrans property fell 31%, likely a result of the county opening safe parking areas in El Cajon and Spring Valley in the vicinity of Caltrans sites. Regional Task Force CEO Tamara Kohler called this progress encouraging, adding, "The investments our region and cities have made are working, especially as they relate to veterans, family homelessness, and those needing a little financial assistance." But some segments worsened. The number of seniors aged 55 and up experiencing homelessness for the first time rose 5%, while people living in vehicles rose 7%, potentially reflecting rising housing costs, leaving more people unable to afford a place to live. The report states that the count found 344 unsheltered people in El Cajon, up from 283 last year, a 21.6% rise, or an increase of 61 people on the streets. It also counted 695 individuals in shelters in El Cajon. But according to city manager Graham Mitchell, the count included two census tracts completely outside of the city limits, as well as five more that are mostly to partially outside city limits, as a boundary map that he provided shows. Three of those tracts alone could easily account for 43 individuals outside the city limits, he states in an email to the mayor and city council members. In addition, Mitchell believes the count was inflated in some areas within the city. Mitchell participated in the counting, along with co-workers and volunteers from Home Start. "There is no way we encountered 73 individuals along 2nd Street near I-8 to Madison Avenue," he states, adding, "I also asked our homeless outreach team about those figures in that area, and again, they are baffled." He says the count along 2nd Street and Main Avenue, which he also helped count, is easily 50 people too high, and he speculates that double counting may have occurred along Main Street from two different groups. Mitchell, in an email to Kohler, asked that the data be adjusted and offered to have staff assist in going over details. The city suggests that its still substantial number of homeless has been driven in part by the county placing homeless individuals in El Cajon motels as part of a voucher program, a situation some other cities don't face. The county also recently closed its safe parking area for homeless just outside the El Cajon city limits for remodeling, which may be further exacerbating homelessness in the area. The city of El Cajon supports several programs to help the homeless, including substantial funding to the East County Transitional Living Center, which shelters many people and families transitioning off the streets. East County Magazine has reached out to the CEO of the Regional Task Force on Homelessness to request comments, but she has not responded. So how did other East County communities fare? The number of homeless persons counted in La Mesa dropped by 9%, an improvement that may be due in part to Urban Street Angels opening two transitional housing programs in La Mesa that can house up to 75 people. In La Mesa, 9 people were in such shelters, while 52 unsheltered people were counted. Lemon Grove's 110 homeless are all unsheltered, since the city has no shelter nor any transitional living center. However, its number held steady, down by one individual over the 111 counted last year. The county is planning to build sleeping cabins for the homeless in Lemon Grove, though it's not guaranteed that priority will be given to people already homeless in Lemon Grove, since a waiting list may draw from a broader region. Santee also has no shelter. However, it had a 27.4% drop in unsheltered individuals, counted at 53, down from 73 last year. Among unincorporated East County communities, where counting was done, Alpine remains at zero homeless people, likely due to cold winter weather and lack of transit access. Though Ramona, with similar challenges, had 9 unsheltered people counted, down from 13 last year, a nearly 31% decrease. Lakeside had 47 homeless, all unsheltered, down from 52 last year. Spring Valley had 106 homeless counted, all unsheltered, down 17.8% over last year's 106 people counted. Escondido had 307 unsheltered people and 231 in shelters, with a 23.4% drop in its unsheltered population. Though Poway went from 1 homeless person last year to 9 this year. El Cajon isn't the only one raising questions about the county's accuracy, however. Bonita resident Paul Henkin, in an email to East County Magazine, notes that the Regional Task Force on Homeless does not count people in jail or prison. When housing counted people in jail in 2017, the count increased by 57%, he says. Some cities, including San Diego, don't count people in hospitals, even if they were living on the street before being hospitalized. Henkin suggests that the count might be higher if conducted during warm weather months, since cold January temperatures can result in family members or friends temporarily taking in homeless persons. The county probably omits some people in difficult access areas, such as canyons, riverbeds, and national forests, he adds. John Brady, with Lived Experience Advisors, a nonprofit that helps homeless people, told NBC7 that the count figures don't fit with the reality he sees. He says numbers have not gone down, they've gone up. We are serving more people than ever. Brady called the press release with count figures bait for political leaders. He concludes, either a lot of people died, or a lot of people are in jail, or given the inaccuracies of the point-in-time count, we just didn't manage to get everybody. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, your network for social justice, this is John Tidwell.
San Diego County supervisors have approved a measure introduced by Supervisors Joel Anderson and Monica Montgomery Stepp to fund first-year operations and services for the Troy Street Sleeping Cabins project in Lemon Grove. Supervisors previously authorized the project to house homeless individuals on State Caltrans land in Lemon Grove. The board action authorizes $3.5 million for the sleeping cabins, which will provide temporary shelter and support services for around 140 people a year with 60 cabins. Another $868,000 is directed to the Regional Homeless Assistance Program for emergency housing services countywide, including motel vouchers when no other space is available for homeless people. The funds had originally been allocated for the Willow Recreational Vehicle Senior and Family Parking Project in Lakeside, but that RV project has been discontinued. The Lemon Grove project is projected to cost $11 million to build using leftover COVID-19 American Rescue Plan Act funds from the federal government. The site will have an estimated $3 million in annual operating costs with on-site services to include case management, laundry and restroom facilities, housing navigation to help people find permanent housing, access to behavioral health services, public benefits, employment opportunities, disability benefit support, credit repair, and more. The Regional Homeless Assistance Program is expected to help support long-term operational costs for the sleeping cabins in Lemon Grove. Supervisor Anderson, in a bipartisan press release, says these reallocated funds will go directly to programs that can make an immediate difference in the lives of people experiencing homelessness. We are turning an unused investment into real, meaningful support. Supervisor Montgomery Stepp, in that same joint press release, says the Troy Street Project and the Regional Homeless Assistance Program are examples of how the county is stepping up to provide both shelter and services effectively and ultimately a pathway to stable housing. These projects are going to provide positive intervention for our most vulnerable residents, and I'm proud to be part of that work, she adds. The Lemon Grove project was approved after a similar but larger sleeping cabin project in Spring Valley was canceled due to community objections, including proximity to schools. Lemon Grove, a small city with a tight budget, has 110 homeless people, according to the Point in Time count in January. All are unsheltered since the city has no homeless shelter or transitional housing. But some Lemon Grove residents have objected to the project and to the process since supervisors voted to approve the tiny homes a few months ago, one day before a listening session with residents was scheduled. Months later, the City Council held a community meeting on the project, with many residents voicing concerns over the site near homes and a school. On social media, several residents reacted to news of the county's funding for the sleeping homes in Lemon Grove. Sean Moe observed on a Facebook forum devoted to Lemon Grove issues, "Homeless shelters are as popular in neighborhoods as toxic waste dumps and bike lanes." Chris Williams, a business owner and former mayoral candidate, suggested that Lemon Grove and Spring Valley have been targeted as Black, brown, and lower-income communities. He states on Facebook, "According to elected officials who represent more affluent areas, the low-barrier encampment would not work for their communities or districts, but it's sure good enough for our communities and districts." Williams says the action amounts to marginalization and injustice intensified. Construction on the sleeping cabins is expected to begin this summer, with occupancy slated for 2026. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
More details have emerged on the tragic crash of a Cessna plane into a military housing neighborhood near San Diego's Murphy Canyon on May 22nd. The crash occurred while attempting to land amid heavy fog at Montgomery Field. All six people on board the plane died in the fiery crash. The pilot, Dave Shapiro, was the co-founder of the El Cajon-based music agency, Sound Talent Group. Shapiro also owned Velocity Aviation, based at Gillespie Field in El Cajon. According to Velocity's website, he was a certified flight instructor who had logged over 1,000,000 miles with 15 years of flight experience and was a licensed transport pilot for multi-engine planes, as well as holding licenses for everything from flying helicopters to aerobatics. According to the Federal Aviation Administration, the airport's weather alert system and runway approach lights were not working at the time, though the cause of the crash has not yet been determined. Shapiro was flying home from New Jersey and had refueled in Kansas. Taylor Guitars in El Cajon posted on Facebook, "We're deeply saddened by the loss of our dear friend Dave Shapiro. Dave was an incredible talent and a passionate advocate for artists, a true cornerstone of our music community. His energy, vision, and generosity touched so many lives, including ours here at Taylor Guitars. Our hearts are with Emma, Kendall, Selena, Dom, and Dan, and with everyone who had the privilege of knowing and working alongside Dave. Thank you, Dave, for the music, the memories, and the impact you made. You'll be profoundly missed." The other victims included two of the company's employees, both in their 20s, Kendall Fortner, a booking agent and graduate of San Diego State University, and Emma Huke, a booking assistant from Orange County. Daniel Williams, a former drummer for the metalcore band The Devil Wears Prada, also died in the crash. The other two victims aboard the plane were Dominic Damian, a software engineer from San Diego, and Celine Kenyon, a professional photographer. There are no deaths of residents or others on the ground, though at least two residents were transferred to a hospital for minor injuries, including smoke inhalation. The crash damaged two homes and destroyed around 10 more, also destroying numerous vehicles as jet fuel exploded, engulfing the area in fiery blaze. Approximately 100 residents were displaced and evacuated to Miller Elementary School. The tragedy brings back terrifying memories for residents of a Santee neighborhood where a 2019 crash of a Cessna plane killed a UPS driver and destroyed two homes. In both crashes, neighbors pulled together to rescue residents trapped in burning homes, risking their own lives to save others. The Santee crash was due to the physician flying the small plane becoming disoriented amid cloudy weather conditions. The FAA is investigating the cause of the deadly Murphy Canyon crash. Montgomery Field, owned by the City of San Diego, is one of the busiest airports in our region, NBC7 reports, and is open 24/7, though the control tower is only manned from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. After hours, pilots may land in uncontrolled airspace, relying on an automated weather alert system that, in this case, failed. The crash raises troubling questions. Why did the approach lights and weather alert system fail, and how long have these not been operating? Could six lives and devastation of a community been prevented had the airport lights and weather alert system been fully functional? Why did Shapiro, an experienced pilot and flight instructor, fly into heavy fog, then after learning that the weather alert system provided only error messages, announce in his final recorded words that he was going to try landing anyways? Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Juliet Sanders.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. on the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
This is John Tidwell with a Crime Beat Report. The San Diego Sheriff's Department has announced the arrest of Pierre Martel Terry, who is charged with conspiracy to commit murder. He is the fourth suspect arrested in relation to the September 18, 2024 murder of Darren Willie Singleton Jr. in Lemon Grove. Deputies responding to reports of gunshots found Singleton lying in the street on Dane Court in Lemon Grove, mortally wounded from being shot in the torso. Despite emergency efforts by deputies and San Miguel Fire Department personnel, he died at the scene. Singleton was 23 years old when he was brutally gunned down. According to his obituary, he was attending Mesa College while working in security and for furniture moving companies. He played football at Morse High School and had played basketball, football, and baseball in various local leagues. He also enjoyed writing rap music and singing. Pierre Terry was already in custody in Sentinella, California State Prison when the investigation tied him to Singleton's murder. He has been transported to San Diego Central Jail. The other three suspects in Singleton's murder were arrested in January. They are 47-year-old Richard Charles Lee of San Diego and 44-year-old Reality Grayson of Temecula and 45-year-old Valina Maria Gonzalez of San Diego.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from San Diego's East County.
Years after the Cottonwood sand mine was first proposed along the Sweetwater River on the site of the Cottonwood Golf Course in Rancho San Diego, the San Diego County Planning Commission will be holding a hearing on the proposed sand mine. This will occur Friday, June 13th at 9 a.m. In March, the Valle de Oro Community Planning Group voted 10-1 to oppose the controversial project with one abstention. The plan calls for mining 4.7 million cubic yards, producing nearly 5.7 million tons of washed concrete sand or construction aggregate over a period of 10 years. The mining would be done in phases, with reclamation planned after each phase for a total of 12 years of activity. The developers said that the sand is needed for highways and construction locally to reduce the need to import sand for such projects. But thousands of residents have signed petitions and voiced opposition to the project, stating concerns over water and air pollution, noise, traffic, and potential property value declines. Concerns have also been raised about nesting birds and other wildlife in the adjacent federal wildlife preserve immediately downstream from the project. The Stop Cottonwood Sand Mine Group is leading opposition, urging concerned residents to attend the County Planning Commission meeting on June 13th. Their group is also raising funds for legal experts to review the latest environmental impact report after an earlier EIR was rejected as flawed and recirculated to the community. For any concerned residents interested in attending the meeting, it will be held on Friday, June 13th at 9 a.m. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Juliet Sanders.
California lawmakers are considering a bill to ease regulations on birth centers at a time when maternity wards are closing in many counties. Assembly Bill 55 streamlines the licensure process, which allows a birth center to accept Medi-Cal, making midwifery care available to low-income families. Sandra Poole with the Western Center on Law and Poverty says the bill would also no longer require a birth center to be within 30 minutes of a hospital, but instead to rely on a transfer plan to address potential emergencies.
And of course, if you're in an area that the labor and delivery has closed, that's going to be impossible. There's 12 counties in the state of California that have absolutely no labor and delivery wards at all in the county.
Birth centers are non-hospital, home-like facilities for low-risk pregnancies. 40% of California's birth centers have closed since 2020, and just 4 of the 37 remaining centers are licensed because the current licensing process is unnecessarily burdensome, according to a study published today by the Western Center on Law and Poverty in partnership with the California Black Women's Health Project and the Black Women for Wellness Action Project. The study also surveyed patients on the merits of birth centers. Holly Drayton is a mother and former doula from the Santa Barbara area.
For people to have that option would really give them the opportunity to choose the birth that they want in an environment where they do feel comfortable to labor in the way that they're supported to make it the best possible outcome.
Sarah Archer is a mother who supports birth centers and says they are an important part of the state's health care system and have been proven to reduce preterm births.
People deserve choices in the way they want to give birth, not just in a sterile hospital. It's a very safe, very quiet, beautiful, serene environment versus a medical setting.
The bill has passed the State Assembly and is now before the Senate Health Committee. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
This is Juliet Sanders with a public service announcement from the City of La Mesa. If you'd like to make a difference in your community, the City of La Mesa is recruiting volunteer members for these boards and commissions: Arts and Culture Commission, Community Parking Commission, Community Police Oversight Board, Community Service Commission, Design Review Board, Environmental Sustainability Commission, Mobility Commission, Personal Appeals Board, Planning Commission, and the Youth Advisory Commission. The application deadline is July 1st at 5:30 p.m. To apply for a board or commission, submit a completed application to the La Mesa City Clerk's Office. Applicants will be invited to interview with the City Council at a council meeting. Appointments to all boards and commissions are made by the mayor with the approval of the City Council, except for the Planning Commission and the Community Service Commission, which are appointed by the City Council. For more information, visit cityoflamesa.us.
Anza Borrego Desert State Park has been named the best California state park for wildflower viewing in a new Best of California State Parks poll released by the California State Parks Foundation. Anza Borrego, which includes a portion of San Diego's East County, also won an honorable mention for best camping location. Three other state parks in San Diego County also made the list. Torrey Pines State Beach was named Best State Park for picnicking. Palomar Mountain State Park earned honorable mentions for both picnicking and dog-friendly adventures. And Cardiff State Beach took honorable mention in the Best State Beach category. This spring, California State Parks Foundation invited its members and supporters to nominate and vote on their favorite parks across 10 categories. In just a few weeks, over 1,300 people participated. Many of the survey participants also sent in photos and their personal stories and memories about why these parks are special. Rachel Norton, Executive Director of California State Parks Foundation, says these places represent the incredible diversity of experiences we can find in our state parks, from exploring the California coast to learning about our history. With summer approaching, we hope Californians will use the Best of California State Parks poll results to get inspired to get outdoors with family and friends. Though if you are going to the Anza Borrego Desert State Park, you may want to wait until the fall and winter months when the weather is cooler. The California State Park system includes 280 state park units, over 340 miles of coastline, 970 miles of lake and river frontage, 15,000 campsites, 5,200 miles of trails, over 3,100 historic buildings, and more than 11,000 known prehistoric and historic archaeological sites. You can learn more at calparks.org.
You're listening to the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for San Diego's inland region. Now, stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
President Donald Trump, over the Memorial Day weekend, bragged to West Point's graduating class that he has refused to cut Pentagon spending and touted his push for an annual military budget of $1 trillion, arguing that other programs should be on the chopping block instead. During his bizarre campaign-style commencement address at the U.S. Military Academy, Trump said, "Some people say, could you cut back? I said, I'm not cutting 10 cents. We can cut plenty of other things," Trump added, without specifying what he sees as better targets for cuts than the Pentagon, which recently failed its seventh consecutive audit, Common Dreams reports. Trump's remarks came after House Republicans, with his support, passed a massive budget reconciliation package that includes more than $100 billion in additional spending for the U.S. military and around $1 trillion in combined cuts to Medicaid and the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, programs that help the most vulnerable Americans. The military spending boost, which critics slammed as unnecessary and detrimental, is aimed at promoting Trump priorities, such as his proposed Golden Dome, an idea that experts have dismissed as a fantasy. It is also a major opportunity for profiteering. Reuters reports that Elon Musk's SpaceX has emerged as one of the frontrunners to build a crucial part of the system. With the $1 trillion that Trump is seeking to allocate to the military in the coming fiscal year, the U.S. could erase all medical debt, slash child poverty and homelessness, tackle the nation's nursing and teacher shortages, replace all of the country's lead pipes, and build nationwide high-speed rail, according to an analysis by the National Priorities Project, or NPP. NPP research analyst Hannah Homestead concludes, a $1 trillion investment in ordinary Americans is not radical. It would effectively help prevent crime, improve security, and raise standards of living across the country, and it's what most people actually want. Homestead adds, poll after poll shows Americans would rather have their tax dollars spent on public services than on Pentagon contractors, and would prefer policymakers prioritize spending on health care, education, housing, and infrastructure, not the military. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
This is Juliet Sanders with a public service announcement from KNSJ. Pulitzer Prize-winning author Chris Hedges will speak at a fundraiser for KNSJ on Friday, May 30th at St. Paul's Cathedral in San Diego. Hedges is a journalist, author, commentator, and Presbyterian minister who has worked as a war correspondent and New York Times Middle Eastern bureau chief, winning the 2002 Pulitzer Prize for coverage of global terrorism. He has written numerous books on war, fascism, and the rise of the Christian right in American politics. He currently hosts the Chris Hedges Report podcast. He will be speaking on survival and resistance in occupied Palestine. For more information or to RSVP for the May 30th event, visit knsj.org or call 619-283-1100.
Welcome to 2025 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
All the aid authorized until now amounts to a teaspoon of aid when a flood of assistance is required. The needs are massive and the obstacles are staggering.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres says even as more assistance is getting into Gaza, it's still only about half of what's needed, with Israel's blockade bringing it to the edge of famine. Reports show Palestinians dying of starvation during the last year and a half of war. Israel accuses Hamas of looting aid and is intensifying air and ground strikes, even as it permits more aid trucks to enter. Polls show most Americans now have an unfavorable opinion of Israel, up from about 40% before the war. They blame Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu for the collapse of a fragile ceasefire. Two Israeli embassy staffers were killed outside a Jewish museum in Washington, D.C., and an American has been arrested for planning to firebomb the U.S. embassy in Tel Aviv, White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt.
The evil of anti-Semitism must be eradicated from our society. I spoke to the Attorney General this morning. The Department of Justice will be prosecuting the perpetrator responsible for this to the fullest extent of the law.
Federal data show hate crimes sharply increased during President Donald Trump's first term and are slowly rising again after his return to office. Analysts tie that to racist rhetoric from the right. Columbia University gave in to several demands from Trump under the threat of losing $400 million in federal funds. The president argued the school needs to fight against anti-Semitism on campus, but Jewish Columbia undergraduate Shay Orentlicker says she's disgusted he and Netanyahu are using anti-Semitism to justify attacks on colleges and in Gaza.
To have my name, my religion, my culture, my faith, that is so important to me, linked to the actions of a genocidal state, that is not what I believe. That is not what my history is about.
Police reform groups want to expand state accountability efforts since the DOJ is ending efforts to address racism in law enforcement in several locations. The Trump administration says it wants to prioritize violent crime prosecution over police reform, but Joshua Tom with the Mississippi ACLU says the feds are pausing an investigation into the so-called Goon Squad case, where six officers were convicted of torturing and sexually assaulting two black men during a January 2023 home raid.
There's only so many civil rights organizations that can step up on behalf of people who have been harmed by police officers. That's what the importance of the Department of Justice is for ensuring that law enforcement agencies are respecting civil rights laws, because they act as a backstop.
Tom says the Goon Squad operated for years with impunity, and they want to see use of force and taser records to see how long it went on. Senate budget hawks say they have enough votes to demand more cuts in the big Republican budget plan, but Democrats say it already slashes the hunger programs to pay for tax cuts for the wealthy. The defenders of reducing SNAP's budget by 30% say work requirements will reduce fraud, but critics say state work rules have always ended up costing more than they save. What they call the biggest cut in SNAP's history would just increase demand at food banks or put more pressure on stretched state budgets. I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacific Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Welcome to East County Magazine's Destination East County, bringing you all of the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County each week. This is Miriam Raftery with Destination East County. June is jam-packed with summer fun, including outdoor concerts in El Cajon, La Mesa, Lemon Grove, Santee, and Viejas. You can also cheer on Flag Day Parade, enjoy the Descanso Day Parade and Fair, laugh along with comedian Arsenio Hall at Sequan, learn about our region's Western heritage at Campo Days, and visit Julian's Town Square Music Festival. You can also savor a Father's Day barbecue in Hukumba Hot Springs or Father's Day tours at the Alain Leal Center in Santa Isabel. Meet local artists at the new Artival Festival in El Cajon, see Birds of Pray up close at Mission Trails Regional Park, watch movies in the park, stroll through classic car shows, or watch a poolside concert at Sequan. Here are details on those events and more. Downtown El Cajon's Classic Cruise rolls out in June, showcasing vehicles that blend nostalgic classics with the latest in modern automotive design. This year, the event runs every Wednesday in June and July from 5 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Details are available at downtownelcajon.com. Mission Trails Regional Park invites you to a raptor talk with local falconer Bob Gordon and his feathered friends on June 1st from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Stop by the Visitor's Center to get up close and personal with these birds of prey while learning what makes them special. Find more information at the Mission Trails Regional Park calendar of events at mtrp.org. The 31st Annual La Mesa Classic Car Show and Live Music Event rolls into downtown La Mesa starting June 5th and continues through August 28th every Thursday from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. Visitors can stroll down La Mesa Boulevard between 4th and Spring Streets to see classic cars, trucks, and listen to live music from local bands, plus a DJ at the La Mesa Lumber Stage at La Mesa Boulevard and 3rd Street. June's band lineup includes The Farmers, Ron's Garage Band, The Tourmaliners, and Love is a Rose. The La Mesa Village Association invites you to celebrate summer during the car show and also dine, shop, and explore the La Mesa Village. Find more information at lamesavillageassociation.org. Artival, an art, wine, and music festival, makes its debut in downtown El Cajon on June 7th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. to celebrate art, culture, and community. Enjoy an art walk featuring works by talented local artists from fine art and photography to jewelry, handmade clothing, and ceramics. There will also be food trucks, a wine garden, beer, and live music. For full details and a list of performers, visit artivalsandiego.com. That's spelled A-R-T-I-V-A-L, sandiego.com. The Julian Town Square Music Festival brings music to the mountains on June 7th from noon to 6:30 p.m. Presented by the Julian Community Heritage Foundation and Julian Chamber of Commerce, this event will feature multiple musical performances. These include Kimmy Bitter and West Side Twang, Tim Flannery and the Lunatic Fringe, Thea the Bang, The Ordeal, Don Bree and Friends, Dolly's Revenge, and Subconscious Culture. There will also be vendors, food, local artisans, many unique contribution opportunities, as well as six live bands. This is a charity event in support of the continued development of the Julian Town Square. Find more information at visitjulian.com. Hukumba Hot Springs Hotel invites you to enjoy a bazaar and barbecue on Saturday, June 7th. The event starts with shopping at the historic Bathhouse Bazaar from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., followed by a Sonoran-style barbecue from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on the patio. There's also live music to enjoy. Reservations are required for the barbecue and entertainment. You can also make a day trip to enjoy the hotel's natural mineral spring pool. For details on this event, as well as other summer concerts in Hukumba, visit hukumba.com. That's spelled J-A-C-U-M-B-A.com. The Descanso Town Hall Association will present its annual Descanso Day Fair and Parade on Saturday, June 7th. The parade rolls out from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. with Grand Marshals Brett and Tammy Cooker, owners of Descanso Junction Restaurant. The fair takes place from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the historic Descanso Town Hall on Viejas Grade Road in Descanso. Big Sky Moon will play live country music and classic rock from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Guests can also enjoy pulled pork sandwich plates and hot dog plates, IPAs and lagers with Burning Beard Brewery, a horseshoe tournament, kids' zone, cakewalks, vendors inside and outside the hall, raffle, and silent auction. All funds raised from this event support maintenance on the 127-year-old Descanso Town Hall. The La Mesa Flag Day Parade is a cherished annual tradition that celebrates our nation's colors and spirit of patriotism. Since its inception in 1997, the parade has become a beloved community event featuring vibrant floats, marching bands, and local groups. The parade steps off on June 14th at 10 a.m. along La Mesa Boulevard through the La Mesa Downtown Village. This year's parade honors a legacy of service, featuring La Mesa's Kiwanis, Rotary, Optimist, and Lions Clubs. For details, visit cityoflamesa.us. You're invited to step back in time to the Wild West and experience the history and culture of San Diego's East County during Campo Days, June 14th and 15th. This event includes visits to four museums in Campo, as well as activities ranging from riding a historic railway to watching exciting demonstrations of equestrian skills. Campo Day is your chance to ride a historic train at the Pacific Southwest Railway Museum, learn about a historic gun battle at the Old Stone Store Museum, uncover hidden stories of cowboys, ranchers, Native American tribes, and the Buffalo Soldiers at Camp Lockett, and explore a bygone era with vintage vehicles and mining exhibits at the Motor Transport Museum. For full details, visit campo.com. The Elan Lael Foundation will host its annual Father's Day tours at the home and studios of famed architect and artist, the late James Hubble, and his wife, near Julian, on Sunday, June 15th at 10 a.m. and again at 1 p.m. Father's Day Open House is a self-guided walking tour which lets you explore the enchanting Hubble family home, studios, and garden at your own pace. The San Diego Youth Symphony will perform on the property. For tickets, visit elanlaelfoundation.org. That's spelled I-L-A-N. L-A-E-L, ElanLaelFoundation.org. A Taste of Julian celebrates the delicious, diverse culinary delights that Julian has to offer. The event is a self-guided tour of participating restaurants and tasting rooms in the Julian area. This year's event will be held June 21st from 12:30 p.m. to 5 p.m. A Taste of Julian sells out every year. You can find tickets and details at visitjulian.com. Music on Main features live performances from talented local bands and musicians every Thursday evening from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Prescott Promenade in downtown El Cajon. June's lineup features Journeyman, The Soul Persuaders, and Trey Hill, as well as Cash, Killer, and The King. For more information on these performers and more, visit downtownelcajon.com. La Mesa Sundays at 6 Summer Concert Series opens Sunday, June 22nd, and runs through July 27th. The concerts are from 6 to 7 p.m. on Sunday evenings at Harry Griffin Park. The summer lineup includes the San Diego Concert Band, Reason, the Beatles Cover Band, Coronado Big Band, Taylor Jones and the Contraband, and Sonic Epidemic. For information, see cityoflamesa.us. The Canadian pop and alternative rock band Bare Naked Ladies will perform June 22nd at Calcoast Credit Union Open Air Theater, San Diego State University, at 7 p.m. The band's hits include If I Had $1 Million, which reached multi-platinum status in both Canada and the U.S. Bare Naked Ladies has won Juno Awards, had Grammy nominations, and was inducted into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame. Tickets are available through the Associated Students at SDSU. Nationally known comedian Arsenio Hall, host of the long-running Arsenio Hall Show, will appear at Saquon's Live and Up Close Theater on June 26th at 8 p.m. He previously appeared on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson and co-starred in the movie Coming to America. For tickets and more information, visit Saquon.com. The River at Saquon is San Diego's only country concert pool party, and it kicks off the summer with a concert by Carolyn Jones, the first and only female member of the Zac Brown Band, on Thursday, June 26th at 8 p.m. Guests will enjoy Jones' top country hits, including Come In But Don't Make Yourself Comfortable, So Many Skies, No Tellin', and more. All pool amenities will be available for guests to enjoy during the river, including a pool deck with two pools, swim-up bar, lazy river, and a jacuzzi. Guests can also order off a seasonal menu featuring tropical, Caribbean, and Latin American-style cuisines and cocktails. You can even rent a cabana or a daybed online. Concert tickets and reservations for other amenities are available at saquon.com. The Santee Summer Concert Series opens June 12th and runs through August 14th. The Thursday night summer concerts are held from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at Town Center Community Park East. And June's concerts include a tribute to Taylor Swift, the Stony Bee Blues Band, and Country Nation. For the full summer lineup, visit SanteeSpecialEvents.com. Lemon Grove's summer concert series kicks off at Berry Street Park on Vernon Street each Thursday evening from 6:30 to 9 p.m. The series opens June 26th with a DJ and karaoke and runs through August 7th, concluding with the Bayou Brothers playing Cajun, Zydeco, and blues. In between, performers include Stacey Ann and the Master Plan with Modern Country, Variety with the Hirana Band, the New Cadillacs playing classic rock and vintage hits from the 50s through 80s, and 90s music with the Platinum Beat. For more information, see lemongrove.ca.gov. The Magnolia Performing Arts Center has several performances lined up in June. On June 6th, Latina singer Faye will take the stage. With more than 10 million records sold worldwide, she is one of the best-selling Latin music artists. Bruno and the Hooligans perform on June 12th, and then on June 13th, comedian Ahmed Al-Bashir will appear. June 27th features a concert by the Prince Again tribute artist. For tickets, visit magnoliasandiego.com. And it's outdoor concert season at Viejas with Los Rieleros del Norte on June 20th, followed by Aaron Lewis and the Stateliners on June 27th. For tickets or info on these and other performances coming up at the park at Viejas, visit viejas.com. You can find details on all of these events and more on our calendar at eastcountymagazine.org. That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County. County Fire Chief Tony Meacham was in Crest earlier this month talking about efforts to keep the community safe with wildfire season fast approaching.
This is the Crest fuel break, and what I wanted to stop here and show you first was what we started with before we did the fuel break. Annually, we treat over 2,000 acres. We perform nearly 55,000 defensible space inspections, and now we're clearing almost 800 miles of roadway along our evacuation corridors every year. We're doing this to keep our community safe and not only reduce the risk of loss of the structures, but more importantly, to reduce the loss of life.
Eric Just from CAL FIRE also spoke. Here's what he had to say.
The intent of this project really was to encircle the community and to help protect it from fire. You know, this community is no stranger to wildfire. 1970 Laguna Fire impacted this community, and again in 2003 the Cedar Fire impacted this community. You know, this hard brush line is now quite a ways away from the houses.
Diana Griffin with the Crest Fire Safe Council also had a few words to say.
Crest is on the top scale of being the most fire-prone community in the United States. So we have been meeting with all these different agencies to work together to make our community safe.
Assistant Sheriff Rick Lopez spoke about the importance of being prepared.
During a wildfire emergency, our deputies will go door to door should an evacuation be ordered. We encourage everyone to already have an evacuation plan. It's important to assemble an emergency kit with food, water, clothing, first aid supplies, medication, important documents, and some money and credit cards. If you live in a fire-prone area, please be sure to maintain defensible space around your property. In the event of a fire, please don't wait for deputies to tell you to leave your home. If you feel you are in danger, please leave immediately.
Our East County Magazine radio show needs volunteers, and so does our award-winning news website at eastcountymagazine.org. If you would like to help write scripts, learn reporting skills, research topics for our news team, or have an on-air voice to be the media, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Miriam Raftery with a Green Scene Report. The Borrego Springs Microgrid Collaborative has submitted a grant application for funding through San Diego Gas and Electric under the California Microgrid Incentive Program, or MIP, to create a community-based microgrid to strengthen energy reliability in Borrego Springs. Senate Bill 1339, enacted in 2018, directed the California Public Utilities Commission to develop microgrid policies leading to the incentive program. This funding opportunity is a critical step in advancing a community microgrid that enhances energy reliability, resilience, and sustainability for Borrego Springs, a community of just over 3,000 residents in San Diego County, surrounded by Anza Borrego Desert State Park. The MIP was established to improve electric reliability, increase resilience in high-risk communities, and promote clean energy technologies. With Borrego Springs facing extreme heat conditions and summer temperatures often exceeding 110 degrees, this new project would supplement existing infrastructure in the area to enhance reliability and resiliency. As a remote desert town, Borrego is uniquely vulnerable to power disruptions due to geographic isolation and reliance on a single transmission line. The proposed system would integrate renewable energy sources, non-lithium long-duration energy storage, and islanding capabilities to provide consistent, reliable power to critical infrastructure and at-risk residents. The Borrego Springs Microgrid Collaborative is a partnership between the Borrego Springs Community Resource Center and T2 Borrego LLC, better known as Rams Hill Golf Club. The initiative is led by a steering committee of community stakeholders, including representatives from the Borrego Community Sponsor Group, the American Legion, the Borrego Community Resource Center, and Rams Hill. Rodney Bruce, steering committee chair of the Borrego Springs Microgrid Collaborative, says this microgrid represents a major step toward energy security for Borrego Springs, and I'm incredibly grateful to my fellow steering committee members for their time, commitment, and belief in what this could mean for our community. A dedicated community outreach committee played a key role in the application process, identifying eligible commercial and residential customers. Their work, through neighborhood canvassing, surveys, and data collection, ensured the project prioritized those who would be most vulnerable to power disruptions. The microgrid will combine solar energy, non-lithium long-duration energy storage, and smart energy management to keep essential services running. The system will power Borrego Springs Elementary School, the local medical clinic, emergency shelters, and cooling zones, ensuring those sites remain operational during power disruptions. Around 60 households with families with limited financial resources, medically vulnerable individuals, and those in remote areas prone to frequent outages will also benefit from a dependable and sustainable power source. The project's estimated cost is around $21 million. The grant seeks $14 million, which will be supplemented by contributions from private impact investment funds. SDG&E's review and final funding decision is pending. If awarded, this project will serve as a model for community-led energy resilience, aligning with California's clean energy and climate resiliency goals.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from San Diego's East County.
Pope Leo XIV has appointed Auxiliary Bishop Michael Pham to serve as Bishop of the San Diego Catholic Diocese, the Vatican has announced. Born in Vietnam, Bishop Pham was ordained in 1999 and previously served in parishes across the San Diego region before becoming Auxiliary Bishop and now Bishop. He fills the vacancy left when Cardinal Robert McElroy, formerly San Diego's Bishop, was named Archbishop of Washington, D.C. in March. Pham fled Da Nang in Vietnam as a 13-year-old refugee in 1980 with his sister and brother, staying in a refugee camp in Malaysia before coming to Minnesota in the U.S. as a refugee in 1981. His parents and several other siblings arrived soon after, and the family moved to San Diego in 1985, according to his biography on the diocese website. Catholic News Service reports that he holds multiple degrees, including an aeronautical engineering bachelor's degree from San Diego State, a master's in psychology from the University of Phoenix, a master's in divinity from St. Patrick's Seminary in Menlo Park, and a licentiate degree in sacred theology from the University of St. Thomas Aquinas in Rome. Pham has also served as titular bishop of Cesena in Italy. Within the San Diego Diocese, he's held positions including vocations director, vicar for ethnic and intercultural communities, and vicar general of San Diego. He's also served on various church councils and boards, including the diocese's executive board. In a May 2024 interview with 10 News, Pham said his priorities as auxiliary bishop included celebrating and highlighting all of the different cultures that make San Diego unique. He said he felt called to live out my life in the service of others, not just the Vietnamese community or Asian community, but the whole church throughout the world. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery. As we honor our veterans this Memorial Day weekend, we thought we'd replay one of our Best of East County segments on the recollections of World War II veterans during a 2018 Warbird flight in El Cajon, narrated by the late John Fastier. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine radio show, and now it's time for the Sounds of History.
They call them the greatest generation. World War II veteran pilots reminisced about their combat flight experiences aboard a B-17 Warbird aptly named Sentimental Journey. This peacetime flight out of El Cajon's Gillespie Field was offered by the Arizona Memorial Museum's staff and flight crew to local members of the press and public, and our reporter, Rebecca Jeffress Williamson, was on board. 95-year-old Bill Milton recalls, "I was on my 11th mission when I got shot down on a strafing run in Greece. I was coming in low to see if I could hit as many airplanes and buildings as possible, trying to hinder their ability to operate off their airfield." Milton was captured and became a prisoner of war, or POW. He was transferred from Greece to Stalag Luft III in Germany, where he was imprisoned for 7 months. "Food was scarce," he recalls. "You were living in conditions where you were guarded all the time," continued Milton. Then General Patton reached the area with Allied troops, and Milton was rescued in April 1945. Fellow World War II pilot Ed Davidson, now 95, was a pilot on a B-17 when he was 19 years old. He recalls, "Everything happened in a couple of seconds. We were flying very low to the ground. Then ground fire took out my left engine." He too became a POW when he was shot down over occupied France on his 7th mission in January 1944. "The next day we went through Paris and then to Frankfurt, then to Barth," says Davison, who spent 16 months in Stalag Luft I. "I spent my 21st birthday there," he recalls. "In April we started hearing the guns, so by May 1st, 1945, the Russians liberated us. They put 30 POWs on each B-17 and flew them to Allied military camps. We were at Camp Lucky Strike," he says, adding that each of the camps were named for cigarette brands. Debbie English is the adjutant and membership officer for Air Group 1, based out of Gillespie Field. She and her husband Doug were both on hand to greet the crew of the Sentimental Journey. She says they worked for 6 months to get the Arizona Commemorative Air Force Museum crew here, along with the Sentimental Journey B-17. Air Group 1 was formed as the San Diego Squadron of CAF in 1981. They were renamed Air Group 1 2 years later. They have a hangar and a World War II museum, with a mission to keep history alive by restoring World War II aircraft, providing memorial flyovers at events, and a presence at local air shows. The organization brought the Sentimental Journey to the airport and offered rides for a fee in the rare B-17G Warbird, one of only 8 of this model left in the entire world. During the 25-minute air tour over East County, the roar of the engine, images of the propeller and the sky beyond induced an adrenaline rush and a sense of what it must have been like riding in this aircraft during wartime. But on this flight, passengers didn't have to fear being shot down by enemy aircraft or taken prisoner. As the Sentimental Journey landed, veteran Bill Milton called it a beautiful flight. If you would like to take a ride aboard the Sentimental Journey, the vintage airplane will be in Palm Springs until October 14th and in Bakersfield until October 21st. For more information or to purchase a ride, you can visit flyinglegendstour.com. To find out about future flight opportunities or to support Air Group 1, you can visit the Air Group 1 website at ag1caf.org. Reporting for East County Magazine's Sounds of History series, this is John Fister.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show, or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show.